Dear faithful, we recently had our spring equinox. That means the day when light grows over darkness. And did you realize today is also the full moon? And both of these matters, they both decide when the Easter is celebrated. Because Easter is always celebrated on the Sunday, which follows the first full moon after the spring equinox. We are truly now, when Holy Week just started, in a season when darkness gives away to light. Night gives way to the day. There is lots of symbolism, of course, in when the Easter time is decided, but the fact that light grows and darkness goes away is something which should not pass our attention. The moon also starts to grow smaller. In one of the Messianic Psalms, there are very beautiful verses which tell about this upcoming Prince of Peace, the great ruler and king who will give light to the world's darkness. The verses go like this: in his days shall justice spring up and abundance of peace, till the moon be taken away. And he shall rule from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. The kings of Tarsus and the islands shall offer presents. The kings of the Arabians and of Saba shall bring gifts. And all kings of the earth shall adore him. All nations shall serve him. Isn't that truly a glorious entrance hymn for the coming king, the conqueror, who instead of earthly conquerings and wars, which many times follow earthly kings, he brings with him peace. And as the verse also says, the moon is taken away. Moon symbolizing idolatry, anything which might turn our attention away from the Creator and our Savior. Moon usually always symbolizes idolatry, worship of false gods. But we Catholics should always keep in mind that if we in our lives, if we love anything other more than we love God, that thing is our idol. We are called to love God more than anything else there is. And so often we though fail, and we turn our attention to creations instead to Creator. And whenever we fail in our duty to follow and obey our ultimate and greatest benefactor, God, then we commit a sin. So it is really so her consoling thought that today comes he, the king, who takes away idolatry, who takes away the moon, and brings with him not just peace, but abundance of peace. When Jesus rode to Jerusalem, that glorious city, on the first Palm Sunday, he was very famous among its inhabitants. He had raised Lazarus from the dead and had performed many, many miracles. He was famous. He was expected to come for the whole and the holiest season to that great city of Jerusalem. And now he enters. He enters in triumph. People expect liberation, they expect freedom, and they expect peace. But our Lord, who sees all these people shouting from joy and spreading palms in front of him and calling him a king, redeemer, and shouting Hosanna, our Lord Jesus, he also sheds tears, because he knows that these same people who are now cheering for him, they will very soon turn against him. These people, they do want peace, but in order that he could give them not false peace, what the world always offers us, but true peace, he, the great King and Savior, he must die. We also, in our lives, how much we desire and we want peace. But we should by now have finally learned our lesson that world can never give us peace. The people of Jerusalem, they who shouted and welcomed our Lord with joy, when the hour of grace came, when there was time to stay and stand with Jesus and stay watching at the foot of his cross, what did they do? They neglected this great grace. And not only neglected, but they turned against their benefactor. They shouted him to be executed, and not just put to death in a somehow cruel manner like stoning, but they shouted his death to be done in a most humiliating way possible, that he should be crucified, like he would be nothing more than a common criminal. That's what happens to man when his heart and his mind turns away from God and goes directly into arms of the world. So on this Palm Sunday, when we welcome our King in our great procession, how do we compare to the inhabitants of that beautiful city of Jerusalem? Do we, from now on, continue our lives as before, maybe living according to the rules of the world which can never give us a moment's rest or any signs of true peace? To neglect the hour of grace and the great mercy of God, that would truly be a terrible misfortune. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, they did just that. And that's why in a couple of decades after our Lord's death, all that what remained from that beautiful and great city of Jerusalem were nothing but smoking ruins. The Romans came and leveled that beautiful city to the ground. And everybody who had remained in that beautiful city, they were either taken away into exile or put to death in battle. When a man's heart, when it becomes obstinate, when it becomes impenitent, it doesn't usually happen all of a sudden, but it happens little by little. If we start to turn cold or a little bit neglectful, saying that this or that prayer is not so important, or this or that doctrine of the faith is not so important, or it doesn't matter if I attend Mass every Sunday or not, if I think that I have some other business to take care of. All those kind of little things, even if they are little in themselves, they slowly turn us colder and colder, and our soul becomes darker and darker. Not all of a sudden, but little by little. That's the progress which our King wants to halt and stop today. He is the one who brings light with him, and he wants to drive darkness away. Sun should shine, and moon must be taken away. If man would grow part of the world, he always becomes like the world, and he would also perish together with the world, like the beautiful city of Jerusalem did. So on this Palm Sunday, when we now proceed to the blessing of the palms and our own procession, let us keep these words in mind, that namely that our Lord, he is the true Prince of Peace, and not any false peace of the world, but truly the Prince and King of the abundance of peace. May God bless you. bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.